think so. Okay, perfect. So we are going to call this steering committee meeting to order, and we'll start with a roll call. So Zachary Davenport, council co-chair. How about let's go to Irma?
Hi, Irma Parada, Council Co-Chair as well.
Manuel.
Hi everyone, Manuel Vasquez, co-chair of Council Affairs.
Thomas.
Thomas Noble, government co-chair. They them pronouns.
Thank you, Richard.
Hi everyone, Richard Sullivan, Council Co-Chair and Community Engagement Co-Chair.
Ron.
Yes, Ron Hernandez, Co-Chair membership.
And then Kira.
Chair, Council Staff.
Kat.
Kat Kochgear, Council Staff.
And Mark.
Mark Mulmer, Council Staff.
Hey, awesome. So first let's review and approve today's draft agenda. Any oh there it is. Okay. Any changes, any objections? Okay, hearing none, the agenda is approved by consensus. And next, we will review and approve the November draft minutes, so 2 months ago. Okay, any changes? Hearing none. The minutes are approved by consensus. Okay, do we have any announcements? None today. Okay, any public comment? Okay, so next we'll go into committee and work group reports. So first with community engagement.
That's me. Good afternoon, everyone. So, community engagement, we held our first meeting of 2025 on the 8th. We started off with an election for co-chairs. I was re-elected, and also we welcome Franco is going to be a new co-chair for community engagement. So Franco's on board, and we welcome Franco. Then we had Stephen Spanos with his age cap report. A couple of things Stephen went over with us. I'd like to recap some of these. Stephen talked about there was a client that had an email to a provider that was misconstrued as a threat. The provider read it as a threat, and HCAP came in and supported the client on a telephone call, and all of them got together and they found out the situation. It was not a threat, it was just a misunderstanding. Another client was given a 3-day notice to leave a hospice in violation of his residency agreement. At first, there was an unsafe option of a home transfer, but with HCAP support and client amending his behavior, the client was successfully relocated to his home with support. Then there was a mental health outpatient client concerned about unauthorized access to their files. It seemed that a service provider went out of business and things were left on site, on property. So the client was concerned that the provider that had gone out of business, that their files might be exposed. HCAP came in with advocacy. The city attorney became involved. And the result was there could have been a potential for a breach of confidentiality, but there was no client data found on site after a city attorney inspection. So that's how that one worked out. We moved on to COLA update. COLA, which was youth with HIV. I believe Kara responded that they're still reaching out. They haven't heard back from organizations. Some people, including Franco, I believed, had some options, but they're still waiting and searching for more on that with the COLAs, I believe. Kira can fill in later, but I think that's what was update on the COLA. The needs assessment target, we've decided on age 65 plus living with HIV, and there'll be more discussion of that as we go forward. But that looks like the 2025 needs assessment target, age 65 plus living with HIV. And that's community engagement.
Thank you so much, Richard. Next, we'll go to Council Affairs Committee update.
Hey, everyone. So for Council Affairs, just a brief announcement. This will be my last steering committee meeting to attend for a while because, so I'll just go through our draft minutes. So essentially, we didn't really have any announcements or public comment, but what I was just sharing is our co-chair election. So that's what I think many people will have updates on. And I feel like my time would be better. It's better spent with membership committee. It sounds like they could use some help. So I'm excited. So I'm actually leaving Council Affairs as of last month. We weren't able to elect someone because first, Nolly has been on leave. She comes back January 31st. She's the co-chair. And then I nominated someone, but they said no. And so Mark agreed and everyone agreed we would postpone the vote until maybe next month or the next time that we would meet. And Mark will be filling in as needed, if needed. So that happened. And I'm excited to work with membership committee. And then we moved on to integrated plan update. There wasn't too much of an update, but, you know, Thomas and Bill Bloom, and we also then moved on to the EHE care update. Again, I think those materials are still coming together. And then we just discuss our next meeting and agenda. And that was pretty much it. You're on mute, Zachary.
I guess that's, is that it?
You're still, for you, Mario? You're still on mute, Zachary.
Thank you. I could hear you, but it wasn't registered.
I saw your mouth and I was like, oh, yeah. Okay.
Ron, thank you, Manuel. Membership?
Thank you, Zachary. Yeah, we do welcome you, Manuel, in our membership committee. We'd like to see you there. Get your support. Okay, yeah, we also had elections. So the two incumbent co-chairs were reelected for another year. And that's me and Elaine Flores. We also had, we reviewed an application for a prospective candidate. Can I say names or is that something that I'm not supposed to, Mark? Yeah. So we have an applicant, John Oscarson. We will meet with them in person next Jan. Month. Sorry?
Jan.
Jan, okay, sorry, Jan Oscarson. We'll be meeting with them next month to conduct in-person interview. So you guys are invited to that. That is February 13th at 25 Van Ness. And we reviewed the committee assignments and some of our demographic reports. And basically, yeah, it was a standard meeting. That's all I have to report.
Thank you, Ron. Okay, let's move on to our meeting evaluation for the November full council meeting.
Okay, and I can go ahead and share my screen for that. All right. So during, this was a while ago, but during November's full council meeting, we actually had 20 members that were present. So really good turnout, even before the holidays. And I'll just go ahead and go over that. So first question is always, the information received prior to the meeting adequately prepared me for the meeting. And everyone agreed. The meeting was run efficiently by Irma Parada. Everyone agreed. And there were two comments. Good job. And thank you, Irma, for keeping us on track. The agenda was well planned. 11 people agreed, one person somewhat agreed, but there were no comments for that. The needs assessment report by myself and Kat was effective and engaging to the HCPC. Everyone agreed. There were 5 comments. I appreciate the time and effort put into the needs assessment. Great work. Great presentation. I appreciate the hard work and time spent on conducting interviews to complete needed assessments. Well done. And then I do agree that these recommendations can be a bit stronger and more specific. The DOS LGBT services presentation by Mike Zog and Maceo Person was informative and relevant to the HCPC. 2 people did skip this question, so we had 9 people that agreed with this statement, and then 1 person somewhat agreed. And there were 3 comments. Amazing presentation with lots of good information, very informative. Love the idea of bringing in more presentations on departments and agencies that are not specific to HIV care and prevention, but still serve a lot of the majority of our target community. My needs as a council member are being met during this time. Everyone agreed. No comments there. And then what worked well for you during this meeting and what could have been improved? The food was good. Facilitation, presentations, and of course, dinner choice. I'm assuming we're all good. It was difficult hearing some of the speakers without a mic. It was good to see such a large member turnout during a holiday week. This is a long meeting, so having a break is vital. Also, thanks for feeding us yummy food. Written materials and a clear timed agenda is appreciated. And I do want to respond back to it was difficult hearing some of the speakers without a mic. We do unfortunately are not able to use mics due to people joining us hybrid via Zoom. The feedback just interferes too much with the audio and the acoustics are already really not that great in that room. So that's the only reason we don't use mics. So everyone speaking when it comes to our presenters or people who are asking questions, we'll just, and I can do that, need to be reminded to speak up. And then moving on, do you have any suggestions for future presentations or training topics? None at this time. Perhaps having a food category presentation later in the year seems to time with what was said tonight. And this meeting received an overall 9.5 score. All right, and I'll stop sharing.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Kira. And next, we'll go to reviewing the full council agenda for this month with Mark.
All right. If I look like I'm not looking at you, it's only because I have a second screen that is larger than the screen with the camera. I'm actually looking straight at you, even though it looks like I'm having a conversation with someone more interesting. I'm not. Do 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 share screen. All right, here we go. Y'all see that? Okay.
Yes.
We have our general update, all our pro forma up through 7 general updates. I guess also pro forma, giving that the full half hour this time because we have the time. I don't think the 2 presentations will go to the full 45 minutes, so I made them 40. We have our Center of Excellence service model presentation that is replacing our integrated plan update, which will take place next month, and that's with Bill and Thomas. But this month we have our COE service model update. This was originally scheduled for later in the year. Bill suggested we just have this one earlier. Voila. Break. Delicious Rosamunde coming to you during that break. And then we have our EHE update. This is care only, and it will have Andy at the center there. We will be having an EHE update from prevention possibly next month. Let me talk to Thomas about that. And then we have a vote coming from, I don't know, need to actually put my name here. A vote, I see you, Bill, we'll get you there for sure. We have a vote on our target, which is as Richard mentioned, and that's all she wrote. Yes, Bill.
Just for the agenda, John has a conflict to present, so I'll be presenting the COE, but it will come with his good work and thoughts in preparation on the slide set.
Is Andy still on for
he and you? Yes. Yes, he is still on to do the presentation for EHE.
Oh, should I remove you?
Make him the lead for that. I'll pipe in if he wants.
All right. So any other thoughts, questions, updates to this agenda?
Mark, I'll just also add in, I have a fairly lengthy director's report, and I will do my best to give folks an update on the city and county as well as the DPH budget.
Great. All right. Any other updates? Nope. I will send this out post-haste to my colleagues.
Hey, thank you, Mark. And I think we're staying with you for the bylaws and PNP review.
And get ready for your adventure that will be lasting all year long. All year long, unless you guys are just amazingly fast in processing.
Be gentle, Mark. It's been a tough couple of days of executive orders, so these bylaws, be gentle.
Consider me your new Trump. So this is something that, I mean, in the bleakest of times, we must keep our sense of humor, right? Anyway, executive order number one, we will be having a review of the entire bylaws and PNP. We have a lot of policies and procedures, a lot. So let's just get ready and do it. Now, by review, I'm going to literally just go through these. And if you see areas of improvement, then you should chime in. There will be some areas, including in the bylaws today's, if we get that far, today's section, where we will absolutely have to update particular policies. So just a bit of background, as you all should know, this is coming, we're doing this because of our monitoring response from our recent HRSA audit. They said that we do need to review all of our stuff because it has been about 10 years or so since we last reviewed them. Yes. And then they also suggested a couple things that need to be specifically addressed within those PNP. For example, in today's bylaws, term limits. Any questions before we embark on this exciting journey together? No? Let me share screen and we'll start with the bylaws. I also want to mention I will not be at next month's steering, but we're still going to continue this. You will be in Kira's less gentle hands. Okay, let me find my bylaws. I just had them a moment ago. There they are. There we go. Okay, share screen. Okay. All right. You all see that?
Yes. All right.
It's going to be hard for me. I can see some hands, yes, but not all. So if you have, you might want to verbalize stuff as we go through this. So these are our bylaws.
Sorry, Mark, can you increase the magnification?
Mm-hmm. How's that?
Better. Thank you. Even
that's
better.
Yeah.
Okay. How's that? I mean, I can go bigger.
Go for it. It's free.
How's perfect. That?
There thank we you. Go.
Yeah. No problem. All right. So bylaws are different than policies and procedures, right? Because bylaws are the actual foundational document. It's where everything is important, but where the most important things are. Policies and procedures can be updated as needed. Bylaws need to be updated by a vote of the full council. Does that make sense in the difference between them? All right. Although for our intents and purposes, we actually plan to bring all the policies and procedures to the full council as well. So we can get total buy-in. Okay, so let's just start.
Mark, sorry, before we finish, just the product of what we're ticking off with regards to the audit, is it just to acknowledge that we've gone through a process of reviewing them? Is that what we're... Okay. Yep. I just want to make sure.
They said it should be reviewed. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Bill. I think every 5 years. And so, yeah.
It's not so much the review, but it's just literally what we're just about to do. We'll make that tick happen. That's what I'm.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Okay. I can double check. I think actually it's yearly. You have to, the planning council has to, doesn't have to change them, but they have to look at them and say, yes, we want to keep them as they are. But I will double check with.
Yeah, can you double check? Because yes. As we know from our PMP, this is gigantic. And to review every year seems like, I could be misremembering that, but I think I would have recalled like every year, but you know, could be wrong.
We'll check. You know, we have a meeting with Jade next week.
Yeah, I'm hoping that you're wrong.
I'm hoping I'm wrong too. There's two of us.
Okay, Article 1, our name. The name of the council is San Francisco EMA, HIV Community Planning Council. Any updates to that? Nope. Moving on. The purpose. We have 1, 2, 3. We have a number of bullet points that are our purpose. First of all, to support broad-based community and stakeholder participation in HIV care and prevention planning in order to prioritize populations in geographic areas heavily impacted by or at risk for HIV, to identify priority HIV prevention needs, and to ensure that resources are allocated appropriately and identify gaps in service delivery models. That's our first bullet point, and it's a lot. Is there anything you feel should be updated here? Okay, moving on. Determine the size and demographics of the population of individuals with or at risk for HIV disease. This is where it comes from. The with, at least, comes from our two reports, right? Epi and Aries. Determine the needs of such population with particular attention to individuals with HIV disease who know their HIV status and are not receiving HIV services, and disparities in access and services among affected subpopulations and historically underserved communities. So we do this via multiple presentations throughout the year, and of course, our internal needs assessment. All right, moving on. Anything with this? Nope. Okay. Now, develop a comprehensive plan for the organization and delivery of health and support services that A, includes a strategy for identifying individuals who know their HIV status and are not receiving such services, and for informing the individuals of and enabling the individuals to utilize the services, giving particular attention to eliminating disparities in access and services among affected subpopulations and historically underserved communities. B, includes a strategy to coordinate the provision of such services with programs for HIV prevention, including outreach and early intervention, and for the prevention and treatment of substance use, including programs that provide comprehensive treatment services for such abuse. And C, is compatible with any existing state or local plan regarding the provision of health services to individuals with or at risk for HIV disease. So that's a lot, right? That's all about comprehensive planning, making sure that we actually have a plan for how to find folks and support folks who know their HIV status and are not in our care, and for informing folks about how to use those services, and to make sure that we're not acting in a silo, right? So we have to coordinate these things with HIV prevention. We need to be aware of substance use. We also need to be aware of what's going on with other plans, including state plans. So do you feel that we have that this is correct, that this bylaw that we have, which maintains that we have to have a comprehensive plan, is correct. Keeping in mind, of course, that we have reviewed multiple plans over the years. And so this plan is actually sort of a misnomer. We have multiple plans that change and are updated over the years. That includes multiple groups. You know, it's not really a plan just from the planning council. In fact, it's not, but is a plan that is a collaborative process.
I just want to jump in real quickly and just note that I'm also reviewing this in the lens of like, where are the HIV negative, HIV prevention services? I'm seeing this now, but like even with the name, because it's mostly because I'm new, other jurisdictions, like when I was in Atlanta, it was always called the Ryan White Planning Council or something of that nature. And then I know we combined it with the EMA to include prevention services, but also HIV positive services. So I'm watching it to see how often we actually talk about the HIV negative community or like at risk community. And I think that's interesting.
Yeah, it was definitely a part of the discussion and at times negotiation between the two councils about how we refer to ourselves and what kind of language we embed into our bylaws. I mean, that's why, you know, we have a name that actually doesn't include Ryan White, even though it's where our mandate comes from. More thoughts on this really important bullet point?
Just Mark. I guess when they ask this question, is it a tick or do we just kind of collectively just say that, yeah, we have multiple ways that we do this work. We have an integrated, you know, ETE integrated plan. There's just a lot of different planning activities.
Yes, there are.
No one comes back and says, okay, where is this? Basically is what I'm asking.
I think we point to the multiple plans that we have. We have the, obviously the blueprint that we're involved in. We have what we're going to be reviewing next month, hopefully, as far as the different implementation plans for ETE. We can look at what we're doing with integrated planning in general. I mean, I think we should be able to, maybe if not speak specifically, at least speak to the fact that we have like multiple hands in multiple fires, I guess, to not prioritize one over the other. We could also look at Bill Bloom has raised his hand. Can't really look at him now. We'll have to listen to him.
Yeah, it was just another thing. You guys have memberships or care. You have HCPC memberships on a number of diverse groups that are broader and include this endemics as well as EHE and stuff. So you could list those out as well.
Richard.
Yeah, Mark, I see this bullet point, develop comprehensive plan, and then the three ABC. Yeah, those are three main pillars from my understanding of what we do. And I think this section would be too large if they did have questions, like all the subtopics that come off of it, we're prepared to answer that. Just, it would be too numerous to list. I mean, but I can see how each one would flow off A, B, and C.
Yeah, I mean, so for example, when you look at A, you are looking at one of our service models, centers of excellence, and also one of our philosophies, which is like you should be able to go into a service provider if you know your status and actually be able to be connected with services, even if that provider is not providing that specific services. That's, you know, it's not just part of like our comprehensive planning, it's actually a part of our whole like how we deliver services in general. It's I think that's like you can see that strategy across different plans that you all have seen at the council. You could also see it in our standards of care and best practices that were reviewed last year. You can see that in our severe need definition and our special population definitions as well. You can see that in the place in the presentations that we got from Leroy Blea. You can see as far as substance use, like in different presentations we've had from different agencies that, I mean, departments or whatever that are not a part of HHS or CHEP, but still work alongside. So yeah, it would be foolish, I think, to list all these different things out because these also change, right? Like we didn't have something called this 4 years ago. And well, we're going to have something different called this in 4 years.
It's just the language is easy for me to understand. And it really, for me, sums up what the council does. And then you can just go down to sub branches, particulars. This I think it's excellent language, this whole section.
Right. All right. So let's move on to, I think, a place where we definitely need to have an understanding. It was a ding on our monitoring report, which was this next duty we have, assess the efficiency of the administrative mechanism in rapidly allocating funds to areas of greatest need within the eligible area. At the discretion of the Planning Council, assess the effectiveness of the services offered in meeting the identified needs. So I'm going to ask you all as leadership, what is this? What is assessing the efficiency of the administrative mechanism?
Oh, well, my understanding is kind of, it could be totally wrong. It's like we get, you know, bill reports about HIV health services, which I understand is one of the main administrative mechanisms. And what kind of, you know, things related to when funding has been received, what the expected funding is, you know, all of the potential reductions, et cetera. And then where, you know, kind of the funds are going and how that's, you know, happening throughout the year. That's my understanding. And that, you know, we're hearing that and we can weigh in on that, ask questions, assess. Yeah.
Thank you, Zachary. That is incorrect. Richard.
Well, from what I, what we just did a few months ago, we give options for all the things that we think 1, 2, 3 through like 12, where money should go and what's priorities. That list, once that's accumulated, then where does that money go? I've always had that question too. Okay, we've decided what's important and the numbers are listed next to it. Who actually puts that money there and how efficient is that done?
Thank you, Richard. That is incorrect.
What?
I'll join in and maybe do one more guess. I don't know, Mark.
One more guess before I reveal the truth.
I'll go.
Go, Irma. You go, Irma.
I said via the needs assessment.
Thank you, Irma. That is incorrect.
Don't you dare talk about Irma like that.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I'm tired of the incorrect answers. Honestly, like, at first, like, yeah. When we gained on this, I was like, but how can the co-chairs not know this? This is the grantee assessment. The administrative mechanism is the grantee. The grantee assessment assesses their efficiency by by surveying the service provider continuum about how well are you being paid. They also do other kinds of areas of assessment, like are you being supported by DPH, are you, all these different things. So we do this on council support. If you recall, my colleague Avery came to the council and they went over there. I mean, they actually, either they or I went over the survey tool here at steering at one point. So it's easy to forget because, first of all, the grantee and the administrative mechanism, they don't roll off the tongue, right? Like, but we are talking about literally DPH/HIV health services. So we need to remember that. That is the administrative mechanism. That is the grantee. They're receiving the grant. And so part of the purview, not often spoken about, is the council via their servants, council staff, can assess, can provide information to the council about how good a job is the grantee doing in actually paying its service continuum and actually supporting its service continuum. Are they doing this effectively? We can also do things like assess how the grantee, HIV Health Services, is supporting the council. This is the obscure part of our mandate. It is the most obscure. In fact, it's so obscure that even though we had the council, including the co-chairs, had a presentation from Avery on actually how great DPH was doing. I mean, you all were there for it. During the monitoring, the co-chairs were like, what are you talking about, grantee assessment? Because it uses obscure language, I think. I think if it was explained and maybe a picture of Avery was shown, people would be like, oh yeah, that one, you know, for sure. That was a good presentation. And, you know, it was a positive. It was definitely a positive review of DPH. Okay, so now that you all know what that is, I will take some questions. So go Thomas, then Richard.
Mark, you're right. It's just the language that tripped folks up. And when even the word grantee, I'm like, who the hell's that? So, if they would have replaced the sentence with did SFDPH, blah, 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 then I would have, it was gibberish to me.
Yeah, I'm sure you all would have. In some ways, like by using the actual language in the legislation, it turns into an accidental trick question. It really does. Yes, Richard.
So what is this in layman's terms? A simple question would be, is Bill Blum paying the electric and the rent?
Not Bill Blum, but HHS.
Okay,
yeah,
all
Bill,
right.
Yeah, Bill Blum actually like does not do any of that.
No, I'm just trying to give Bill some airtime here.
Yeah.
All right, but simple as that, is the money going to but who do we ask, Mark? You give us a review once a year, or we just can ask you at any time?
Our goal is once every other year, although we haven't reached that goal all the time. So we might make that a little bit more frequently, actually, just to keep this in people's minds. Yeah, just like it's the language, but you know, we can't change this language, unfortunately, because this is a language that's literally in the legislation. So we have to use it, you know, much like people don't like how we use the phrase substance abuse. That's in the legislation. As long as the language is in there, we use it. And so administrative mechanism, which doesn't really roll off the tongue, is in there. It's just next time we have an audit in, who knows, 5 years, 10 years, 1 year, I'm going to definitely fully prepare you all as far as like when they say these words, they mean this. But I want to ask the co-chairs now, because this is actually part of our, like what I have told in my monitoring report response, our mantras that I would do is that I want to like make sure co-chairs, is this particular function of the council and basically council support now clear to you?
It is clear to me.
Richard, Thomas, Irma, just a. Say it out.
I basically understand. I thought you just wanted to show up and look pretty, Mark. I didn't know I had to do studying like this.
It looks like a raised hand from Ron as well.
My head hurts.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to really make sure that I did my due diligence in explaining this to you all, what this is. This was literally something that they said that is a lack. So
I hear what you're, I kind of understand it, but honestly, it is hard for me to still understand it. Like, it's too many words, like describing almost the same thing. And my mind is just like, wait a minute. So like, I'm sure there was a visual or something in Avery's presentation. Like,
oh, yeah.
If like, this is the administrative mechanism pointing to the grantee or whatever. Cause yeah, it seems unnecessarily complicated.
I think Ron...
Yeah, for sure. For what is actually fairly simple, I definitely get it. But yeah, Avery did have a PowerPoint. And if anything,
okay.
I kept on with Avery, like, no, you need to like you need to make this even simpler. Like, make this as like basic as possible. But it just still, for some reason, just still doesn't stick. And I do think it's a language issue around that. Except like when this function is called assess the efficiency of the administrative mechanism, I honestly feel like people's brains just turn off, or like it's like mm-hmm. that translates into white noise, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go with Bill and Ron.
Yeah, totally appreciate it. You know, just maybe it will be helpful to give the history a little bit. You know, so when this was first authorized now 30 years ago plus, you know, there wasn't necessarily always collegial relationships between planning councils and departments of public health. In fact, because it was a completely new model. So this was really designed to empower planning councils so that it wasn't just kind of DPH from all over the place kind of setting up these dummy groups that didn't have power. So really the idea was that this community group was really supposed to say, are you guys administering the grant? So the administrative mechanisms are what we doing working for you guys to get the information you need. So we as a grantee, that's the person getting the Part A grant that has to administer it. Is it working for you guys? And is it also working for the contract providers? So that's kind of the history of it, and it hasn't changed in 35 years, but it's your guys' chance to make sure that we at DPH, HIV Health Service, the grantee, are doing what we need to do so the grant is well administered. Does that help clarify it at all?
Thank you, Bill. That did, yes. Thank you.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, look at it in the way like this came from like a community trying to take charge of funding stream and like a particular challenge. And so that's why it can't. I think it's also just counterintuitive. Like, when do we assess DPH? It's usually the opposite. All right, Ron.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. So I'm just trying to understand. You're saying that the mechanism exists, but I'm trying to figure out how to see it. I mean, it seems to me backstage or behind the scenes. Are there any reports that would say that we're assessing?
Yes.
Like John Astley's report?
Let me sort of just break down that phrase, assess the efficiency of the administrative mechanism. I'm going to just break that down, okay? So, in fact, let me do this.
Ron, I feel like it's almost the opposite. Like, it's not backstage. Okay. It's the water we're in.
So administrative mechanism, okay?
I like what Bill said about empowering the council to understand.
Equals,
that made sense to me. Okay. Like checks and balances. We get to see.
One diva, one mic, please. Administrative mechanism equals DPH. So as far as like working in the background, yes and no. So just keep that in mind. Administrative mechanism, DPH / HHS / Bill Bloom and company plus fiscal, right? So like, just like take that all away and say DPH. Make sense that part? Okay. Efficiency equals, are they paying agencies on time? Do they support agencies and council? Okay, so working backwards again, assess. Conduct a survey and interview with service providers and council members. So assess the efficiency of the administrative mechanism means that we'll be doing a survey and interview with service providers and council members to find out if they're paying, if DPH is paying agencies on time, and do they support these agencies and the council. You'll get this information via a report. Does that make sense, Ron?
Yeah, so we do get the report. It's every 5 years? Because I'm trying to remember the last time we had a report.
We received it last year from Avery.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. Does everyone recall Avery? Avery is a tall, non-binary person with glasses. They came before the council at one point and took everyone's pictures. And then another point, they came and presented all about like how DPH is doing. It was a short presentation. It was a very positive presentation. You might have forgotten.
We also met with them.
Yeah,
because I had a meeting with them.
Yep, some of you also had one-on-one interviews with them.
I remember now.
And so this was last year. This took place last year. So again, I don't understand why it's like this obfuscating language. That's a obfuscating word. This complex language doesn't help the fact that this is actually pretty straightforward. And so assess the efficiency of the administrative mechanism means that you're going to get a report on how well DPH is doing in supporting providers and council. Yes, Ron.
So if we can't change the language, can we add some in, maybe in parentheses? So this will be conducted by a report on a 5-year basis or something like that?
Well, Rod, I think what we're trying to do is just make sure that next time that the audit happens and we're asked the question, we just say yes and we know what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Everyone just mark their calendars for 5 years and 11 months to educate. And Mark, I'll apologize for everybody else for missing this and getting the ding.
No worries.
I felt bad. I really do. I'm like, oh, I did not understand the question.
No need to feel bad. I'm actually quite surprised that they actually put that in the part of their monitoring conversation. It's like something that is so little importance to HRSA from what I've seen. Like, I've gone to many, many conferences, grantee conferences over the years, it's never talked about. And even the presenters I've heard talk about it, they don't even seem to understand it themselves.
Oh,
so actually,
good.
it was pretty unfair that they even brought this up with you all.
And I think Ron's a little lost just because he wasn't there in the room when they were asking us that. Right, Ron?
I was not interviewed. Like, yes, you're right. I wasn't interviewed.
All right, so let's move on then, because it sounds like we should keep this basically the same, because I think this language is coming from the legislation. I'm unsure if this next one is actually coming from the legislation or if we put this in ourselves. Participate in the development of the statewide coordinated statement of need. Bill, what are your thoughts on this?
Can I ask a question? Where is this list exactly coming from?
This was created by the council. Sometimes they looked at the legislation. Sometimes they did not. Again, that's my assumption. It has been 10 years since this was reviewed and or created. So I can't remember. And actually, I don't know if you recall, Allie Cohn was in charge of this whole process. So I know that she brought each specific bylaw from both the care side and the prevention side. She brought both of them together to a working group of people from both councils, and she brought the legislation as well. And it's like, okay, how do you want to combine this into one document? So other than that, I can't really tell you. That was not, again, 10 years ago, and I don't remember.
Well, no, that's helpful, because knowing it was 10 years ago, this probably came from the prevention side of the house.
Yeah, is what I'm guessing. CPG. I should ask, actually, Thomas, does this look familiar to you? Should we, how do you all feel about removing this? I'm not sure I've heard of a statewide coordinated statement of need in years.
This is what the blueprint is. That's what that evolved into.
Yeah, so but it's it no went longer from referred that, to as a statement of need.
No, it's not. It's not. That,
how about we replace it with plan, with statewide coordinated plan? I don't know.
Well, it became integrated planning when we did care and prevention together. And then it morphed into the EHE. So you could say participate in statewide planning, and then you could do both the CPG as well as the EHE, the blueprint, which actually was taking the place of Part A, as well as I'm assuming they used it for Part B.
Do you think integrated plan would suffice? Just
yeah, integrated planning. You could maybe make it broader. Integrated planning activity.
Participating in the development.
Actually, I would encourage us not to saddle our horse to the state. You know what I mean? Just in case things change, like maybe we don't want to be. So participate and develop in a statewide integrated plan. I would just say coordinate or something.
Really?
Less of the word.
No, Tom. We can't coordinate the statewide plan. We're a local.
No. Like participate.
But doesn't San Francisco lead the charge in all these things?
No, if it's a statewide plan, the state does.
Yeah, participate in a development of a statewide plan. Yeah.
It's pretty, I mean, to me, that's pretty vague. Like, we're one of the stakeholders.
Okay. To me, it sounds like we're committing.
Thomas, I think yours is a good point on it. We did this year because we got the forfer. You guys remember it worked for everything. But we're not, there's nothing on the care side that mandates we participate in state plans. The state could say you guys get Part B funding, so you have to be in a part of our planning group, but they never have. So actually, Mark, if I could make a recommendation, I would take that out.
Do people agree with that recommendation?
If Bill feels like we don't do it, I appreciate that.
I mean, we do it though, like with our,
or it's not required.
It's not required on the care side. I don't. It sounds like it's not required on the prevention side, based on what Thomas is saying. I mean, we're not limited to this, and we've had members that have often participated in the CPG, so it's not like we couldn't do it. I'm more thinking about we're making this a requirement, and Thomas is right. Who knows what will happen next year if they'll have an integrated plan? The language on it has changed so much that I would almost say, participate in any statewide coordinated activities. I would make it very vague, I guess is what I'm saying, or I'd take it out and just assume it's part of what we do.
Ron?
Yeah, I had the impression that was what Richard was sitting in. He's in a California planning group. Isn't that a statewide?
It is. It's literally the California planning group.
Yeah, so we do participate. We have Richard participating.
Exactly. Like, I mean, I'm sorry to push back on the folks saying we should take it out, but we do these things, and these are considered important to us to like be part of the California system of care. I understand like there might be some like, what are we doing next? And do we really want to associate ourselves so deeply with California, which is a state that we live in? I get it. But at the same time, like we do this stuff. But so I'm wondering if like taking Bill's suggestion and turning it into participate in simply like state level coordinated activities, like keep it bland. How does that sound? Or participate in state level activity. I mean, that also is like, that seems almost too.
I mean, sorry. You know
what I mean? Like we received the state blueprint for one, and we were asked to be seen as stakeholders. So people were welcomed to before, during, and after the process to like put in their thoughts. Like we have the CPG rep. I don't know. I'm pushing back on this idea of just removing it. Sorry, Bill. Other thoughts?
I feel like the risk is the state could go wonky in some way, in a future state. I hear what you're saying, Mark. We are doing a lot of work with them, and I have a lot of collaborations and work closely with them in multiple spaces, cluster detection, community planning, training for testing. So all that work is definitely happening. And I could see if their leadership changed in a minute, that those relationships might become very awkward or something that we wouldn't want to participate in the level that we're currently participating.
Well, wouldn't you always want to have a voice in what the state is doing? Like in particular, if things go wonky?
Like I agree. If we can write that in a way that just says what you just said, like we would like to make sure that we have a voice, but we're not like.
Okay, how about participate in integrated statewide coordinated activities? Bland, but also like by talking about integrated, we are like in some ways centering the fact that like we want to be working with the state, no matter who's in charge.
Can we just add in as the council dictates or as co-chairs see fit or something?
As the co-chairs see fit,
I'm just trying to think like, okay. I don't want to get too wrapped around it. So I'm good.
I know it's
with
like Ted Butler, like suddenly like butting in and saying, no, but I believe this, but I mean, I do just feel strongly like we can't like have like a pretend we don't work with the state when we literally do. And it's important to us. We have a state rep, Chris Kent. Anyway, yes, Ron.
Yes. So I'm in favor also of just of leaving it there, but I could change maybe
in a grant
or something else. My question, Mark, is when this was written, was it specific to a group?
I really, again, like this was 10 years ago and Ali was in charge, so I don't remember. I just don't remember. I do remember seeing the phrase statement of need, and I think that's something that happened a while ago. And like Bill said, that's changed into our blueprint. So yeah. So if people are okay with this, like we can use softer language, participate in statewide coordinated activities. I mean, that's super soft, but that's still there. How does that sound? Not integrated plan, statewide.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's more clear to me.
I mean, that's yeah, I mean, it says we're doing stuff. It's not saying like for like the pleasure of co-chairs or the council. I mean, it's like making it a part of like who we are, but it's not being specific about an integrated plan or leading it. Sorry, yes, Ron.
Yeah, I know you want to be maybe generic, but the sentence says the capital statewide. So it's making me think it's something specific.
Well, how about that?
In that mandate.
How does that look?
Well, yeah, that's fine. That's generic, yeah.
Okay. Bill, Thomas, our government buddies, how does that sound?
Works for me.
Yeah.
Great.
All right. Let's move on. Well, we made our first substantive change to the bylaws. I feel the change right now. I feel a bit very different. Establish, feel less statey. Establish and implement methods for obtaining input on community needs and priorities that may include public meetings, conducting focus groups, and convening ad hoc panels. So, of course, we already do this with our needs assessment. Anything on that? All right. Coordinate with federal grantees that provide HIV-related services within the eligible area. You know, we do this. We are bringing in, as far as federal grantees, like receiving the funding directly. I always get Part C and Part D mixed up, but I think that's Part C. Correct me if I'm wrong, Bill.
Part C is FQHCs. Yeah. And that's the San Francisco Community Clinic Consortium. And Part D is women and children.
Women and children. UCSF. I always mix those two up. Thank you. So we're doing this. I mean, we can certainly have more coordination, but just so that you all know, we are going to be designating Bill Bloom as our Part C rep. And we are currently in the process of interviewing a Part D rep. So we're going to have a lot of representation. Of course, we already have our Part B rep in Chris Kent, who dials in every month. Moving along. Not any thoughts on that? Sorry, that last sentence. No. All right, size. All right, size queens. Here we go. The size of the council shall be no more than 50 members. That was because people were quite nervous, understandably, because there had been a whole prevention, like we're restructuring, and then a lot of people just found themselves off the council. So that caused a lot of fear, I think, as well as like on the care side around, like, well, do we need to pick and choose? Was sort of the flavor
there. I feel like I've never seen 50 people at our meetings. So I'm wondering why we chose 50 instead of like 30.
I'm explaining that right now. I'm literally explaining that. Are you not listening to me, Manuel?
I'm listening, but it's not coming through. It's not making sense.
I'm going to start making sense now. This happened because the Prevention Council had been through some trauma and felt like they didn't want to risk being cut out of the Prevention Council like they had been before. On the Care Council felt like, I don't think any voice should be lost.
And so I heard that, yes.
When they murdered, they both agreed that let's make sure everyone gets to stay on. Let's count everyone. And it came out to like 49 people. And so they're like, let's just make this an even 50 just in case. Boom. That's how we got it.
Okay. Do we feel it? And how long ago was that, this change made?
10 years ago.
I mean, I've not seen even like 40 people at our meetings. I don't know. It's just interesting.
It's a large number, but that's why the large number came about.
You're thinking about members, right?
I'm thinking about all the meetings we've attended. Yeah, I've never seen 40 people.
You can include the public in there too. We're not.
Yeah, I mean, the public come to our meetings, but I don't think it's ever been close to 50.
Yeah, but that's now. 10 years ago, we were. I mean, if you can imagine, okay.
Just keep it.
We had both. We can lower it if you want. Other places actually do have gigantic councils. The New Orleans Council, for example, had like 70.
What's the current membership?
Oh, Kira, that's a better question for you. Can you answer that one? Kira, did she leave us? She's so bored she left.
I feel like I should know this too.
It's 29, but let me double check.
Mark, I'd recommend lowering that number. That's
a gigantic number. Yeah, to 35 or something like that.
I have no horse in this particular race. This will be no pushback from me if you want to lower the number, because the lower the number, the easier it is to manage.
So, or just remove it altogether?
No, actually, that's something that does come up. It does come up.
Have a number. I think we should lower it to a number that we can certainly attain.
How about
to 40?
What?
How about to 40? Is that too large? I think if we have every single seat filled, that would mean that we'd probably have need at least 35, and then 40 gives us like five in
extras.
Yeah. People will feel okay with 40.
But are we gonna be held accountable?
Nope. I mean, people have tried to hold us account, but I've explained to them, it's a ceiling. We don't have a floor. So no, they literally can't. I mean, even during monitoring, I've had to explain to monitors of the Planning Council support contract when they look at council members as clients, they're like, "Why haven't you reached your 50?" I'm like, "It's a max. It's not a minimum." Oops, I did that wrong.
Mark, I did confirm we do have 29 council members currently.
Okay, 40. So keeping that in mind, am I spelling 40 wrong? Are my eyes going?
Yeah, that's correct.
Wow, Mark, English major over here. Anyway, okay, if everyone's okay with that one, let me do a time check. What is the time? It is 4:04. Okay, good. We have time. Applications for membership, application selection and appointment. Applications for membership to the council are solicited through an open, public, and proactive process. The protocol for submission, review of applications, selection and appointment of council members should be clearly delineated in the P&P manual. Parity, inclusion, and representation. Remember when those were the three hip words for the council should be understood in terms of the HIV epidemiological profile of the San Francisco EMA, not the national profile, and this shall be reflected in the composition of the full council. The membership shall be comprised of persons recommended by the membership committee and appointed by the mayor, according to the council's process for the nomination and appointment of new members and alternates. So this is pretty straightforward. It's how we do things for sure. We are looking at every month in the membership committee, like what is our local profile and where are our lacks? This is where we hope Manuel will help us in getting to those, you know, the standards we have set for ourselves, but also that HRSA wants. So we're actually following what HRSA wants, which is at minimum, like, equal representation, if not over representation, of particularly impacted communities. All right, any thoughts on this one?
I feel this is accurate. Also, as I mentioned, Mark, it was incorrectly spelled. 40 is without a U.
I thought so. I thought so. I thought that was something was wrong. Oh my God. Wow, again, English major over here. See what happens when you age? Okay. Here we come to our second substantial edit. HRSA hates that we do this, so we need to change it. They don't like this term of office of 2 years and forever.
They feel it should be less or more.
They feel it needs to have, like, number one, it needs to have a particular number of terms, and number two, it should delineate, like, so we're doing length of terms. We're not doing number of terms. They want to see that.
Okay.
They also want to see, like, amount of time before someone can reapply as well. They put both of the things in the monitoring. So I was talking, I think, to Bill about this, and I'm wondering what you all think. A term of office shall be 3 years. I mean, shall be 3 years and maybe renewed once. The council members are may be able to apply after 6 months off of the council. How does that sound to you all? I think that's pretty generous because it keeps people on for 6 years and it gives them 6 months to, like, chill without the council. And if they're still interested, they can come back.
It sounds good. I will just ask though, like, I know certain people on the council because I worked with them for a really long time, like TJ Lee. He's been on this council for a very long time, many years. And I'm just wondering, I think we have people on council that have been on it for a long time. So I don't even know if this applies. Like, have we been staying true to this?
Yes, because this is limitless. We want to change it so that, like, now, unfortunately, that means that people cannot be forever council members. They will have to leave the council for at least 6 months. But the thing is, like, it's like we have to balance the fact that, like, HRSA wants us to have a sort of freshness to us, which is nice, with the fact that, like, we actually really like to center experienced experienced voices as well. Like, so we definitely want new people coming in and out, ideally. But, you know, it's important to have, like, say, like, if possible, people who know the lay of the land because they've worked in it forever, like Laura Thomas, or people who are long-term survivors who have actually seen and how care impacts them over time, like TJ. Like, these are important voices. And so it kind of annoys me that's how HRSA has been looking at it in some ways, although I get it. They definitely will, like, it's good to get people in and out too. So I'm hoping that like this idea actually meets both, like respecting the voices of experience, both lived and professional. Well, I guess professional is lived too, while also respecting that HRSA is making a valid point that you need to have term limits because you need to have people be able to roll off and other people roll on. Richard.
Yeah, so a couple of things, Mark. I understand maybe the principle behind what Hearst is saying, but I don't think it really deals with reality. I mean, I understand maybe fresh blood, but look at the trouble we're having lately with recruitment. I mean, membership. Yeah. So and there is sage wisdom on this. I mean, that's what HIV care is about, I think, are people that are entrenched and have done this for years and understand the ins and outs. And this council has sage wisdom. So what are you talking about? What's the maximum under your new suggestion, even with the a 3-year term, 6-month layoff, and then a final 3-year term?
No, it just starts the process again.
So it could be indefinite. It could be for infinity, but with breaks.
Yeah, essentially.
Okay, I like that because you don't want to lose these. There's a lot of wise people on this in HIV care and prevention. And we're having trouble with newcomers, and a lot of newcomers, when we do get them, it's been troublesome.
All right. Bill and then Thomas.
Yeah, it might help again to go back. Why HRSA is enforcing this is it's written in the legislation, and it actually was written in the legislation by people living with HIV. And unfortunately, you know, it's been 15 years since this legislation was updated. And my understanding of the purpose of it was, you know, back then people were passing and getting too sick. So it was really a way to ensure that the planning councils really were committed to bringing in people living with HIV. And it didn't end up becoming a bunch of service providers who were not positive or other folks. So the intentionality, as I understand it, was really done by people living with HIV influencing the legislation. And unfortunately, it's risky enough to push that no one wants to push to have to do a reauthorization because of the politics of it. It could result in big cuts to funding. So we're dealing with really old legislation. That was the intent of it. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, so I don't think I don't think HRSA is particularly in love with it. They just have to enforce it. The second thing is a number of ways that other planning councils have dealt with this is when the person rotates off, whether it's 6 months or a year, it doesn't mean you can't come to the planning council. It doesn't mean you can't opinionate during public comment. It just means you don't vote. So there's ways that planning councils have really said, we want you to stay on. This is a bit pro forma. You know, please keep coming to the meetings, stay involved, and then come back and after that time period. But, you know, don't leave us, just stay and don't vote.
I'm not sure this even needs to be put in, but I'm putting it in anyway because I like that point a lot, though. Thomas.
So just from a process standpoint, I feel like this might be a membership issue or something, like kicked. I mean, we can put something in here now as placeholder, but this feels like a bigger conversation with regards to how do we handle the conversation around limits and term limits, right?
And recruitment, because, you know, by imposing term limits, they have to work harder on recruitment.
Well, and I'm also wondering about specifically myself and people who are, seats, you know, Franco, it's not like there's a lot of people to choose from in various spices. So that's when I'm like, That's going to get a little bit awkward. So those are the kind of the things to think through.
Ron?
I was just going to suggest to maybe pass this over to the membership committee, and then we could review it, what they think. We could review it at the steering committee.
Yeah, sure. We'll put this in for now.
But can I ask you something, Mark and Bill? I mean, this is not up for grabs. I mean, this is something that they want us to
implement,
right? So, yeah, exactly.
We have to do this.
Yeah, so just as a clarification, in case that is going to go to the membership committee, I mean, they need to know that this is something that we're not able to avoid.
Yeah, like they were very clear. Like, this seemed to be the thing they were the most excited about in a negative way.
Couldn't we just say it?
At least a meeting. So, yeah. So, Thomas, Ron, definitely, hey, membership can discuss, but don't expect this to change. Like, yeah, I feel like what Bill and I kind of put together here is, like, super generous. Like, we're like, I feel like we're stretching it. But I'm willing
we are, Mark, and they could push back and say that's too exactly. long. They may
that's
not.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it sounds like you guys wanted to be more generous, but I feel like, well, Bill and I, like, we made it as generous as possible. And they might even say, oh, are you kidding? You know,
I think anything less generous, Mark, and the council would turn into an empty husk.
Exactly. That's why Bill and I are to push this, because we not so much empty husk. I don't know about that, but like we don't need to lose important voices. And sometimes it's hard enough to get someone like an appointed seat on. You know, like we went out after the passing of Margot, like we went without a housing person for a while, and we need a voice from housing. Like we're just now, after many, many, many years, getting a Part D rep on. You know what I mean? Like so that's why I'm willing to like push back a little bit and do what we can as far as like making this as generous as possible.
I want to just jump in and ask for a suggestion. So even with the body that monitors us or whatever this is, can we ask them for examples of other places they feel are adequate? I mean, if they're going to complain about the length, but then they're going to tell us we need to revise it or review it, I would like to see an example of what they think is perfect or whatever, and then we can maybe like look at that. That would be helpful, I think, for many people on the
net. We could, but I don't think we're going to like that. I don't think that helps us, Manuel, because
okay.
I know this is being recorded, but I'd like reduced contact with the monitors in the future. We have a great program officer who seems to really understand where we're coming from in Jade. And from my impression from the conversation, and Bill, I see you, please correct me if I'm wrong, was that they were looking like at certainly shorter than this. Anyway, Bill.
Yeah. So again, I don't, you know, I think Cursa hears it and gets it. It's like, you know, when you have to do a job you don't want to do because
it's
the law. So, and I think what they erred on the side, actually, Mendel, of going the opposite way. We don't want to micromanage you. Just show us you have something.
Yeah.
So as I've talked to probably four or five different jurisdictions, because we've had in the community of practice, and Lee may have actually been in one of the meetings. What, you know, usually you rest people for a year, and usually it's two-year terms. That I would say that's the average. So doing two three-year terms and resting people for 6 months, I think it's pushing it. But I think it will get through.
Yeah.
So and that would be my recommendation.
We can go to do what other people are doing, but we might as well sort of start generous, right?
And again, I am hearing, like, I wish I could remember which, you know, they really told people that it was kind of pro forma. Please keep coming to the meetings. You just don't vote. You can still speak, and you speak during public comment, and or, you know, take a couple months and go do the traveling you didn't do and then come back. So at least a couple of folks said that, it, you know, with that kind of briefing around it, they weren't losing so many members. Just they rotated on and rotated back, rotated off and rotated back on.
Which is surprising to me, honestly. I know that, you know, I certainly have been on council myself. I'm not sure I would stick around. I would hope that people would. Obviously, I'm self-interested in having this council. People, like, folks stick around. But, yeah, I remember hearing that at our actual meeting, and it just seemed like, really, people do? To me? Anyway, Zachary?
So if this is going to be our bylaw, what, how will this, how and when will this start being implemented? Like, is it going to be like retroactive?
I think that's what we kick to membership is like, okay,
Okay.
this is what we're planning on doing. Membership,
Okay.
how do you want to do this? Do you want to implement this like ASAP, or do you want to implement this probably at the end of the year? Because this will be
Okay.
a year-long process. Like
Yeah.
we're only in page two of our 8-page bylaws. We only have about 40 other policies to go.
Okay.
And we're not going to be doing this every month. We're going to approve piecemeal. I want to approve like later after we have things, because that, honestly, like things might change where we look at like an upcoming policy and you're like, oh, you know what? This impacts how I feel about a past policy. So I want us to be able to go back and revise and all those things. So I don't
Okay.
think this will be implemented and come to the council for a full vote for a while. If HRSA wants to know, I mean, it's obvious like what we're doing. We're in process. Like we're literally reviewing right now. And I think that's a perfectly justifiable and respectable answer.
I also think that sending it to membership could be appropriate in the event that when you present it to the full council body, people have questions or they think, oh, okay, I've been here for 5 years, I'm leaving. Because you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We also need to be proactive to make sure that we have clear guidelines and people don't just leave and we end up with having to recruit more, which is a problem.
Yep. Agreed. Any more thoughts on this exciting one, term? Okay. Termination and resignation. The council shall establish policies and procedures for the dismissal of members from the council due to failure to fulfill their responsibilities. Tsk, tsk. A member may resign from the council at any time by notifying the council co-chairs or council staff in writing. Individuals who resign or are dismissed from the council may continue to participate in council activities and meetings as members of the public and are eligible to reapply for membership in the future. All true, all still true. Our main policies and procedures for dismissal of members is based around attendance. So if a council member just meet does not come to meetings or committee meetings for a certain amount of time and does not communicate with council staff the reasons for missing those meetings, that will eventually lead to an automatic dismissal. That's only happened rarely, because both things have to be happening: a lack of attendance and a lack of communication with admin staff. All right, any questions on that before we move on? That seems pretty straightforward. Let's see why that would change. Okay. We do a little time check. 4:20, what a great time to end. Yeah, should we do conflict of interest or should we stop it right here? Okay, let's do conflict of interest since there was no interest in stopping. The council shall be governed by the requirements for the reporting of economic interests established by the California Fair Prep Political Practices Commission pursuant to California Government Code, etc., including the filing of annual statements of economic interest. In addition, pursuant to the Ryan White legislation, the council, its members, or its director, it should be director of council support, may not be, because I'm not the director of the council, may not be directly involved in the administration of the Part A grant, may not designate particular entities as recipients of any amounts of Part A funding, and individuals serving on the planning council or its director who have a financial interest as defined in government, et cetera, or are members of a public or private entity seeking Part A funding will not participate directly or in any advisory capacity in the process of selecting entities to receive Part A funding within that particular service category. So I'm sure like people are hearing this and some folks are probably like, what the hell does this even mean? So let me hope to explain. So first of all, we have to be adhering to our particular practice here in California, which is why you fill out your 700 forms every year. That's what that first part is about. Okay. Your 700 forms where you're declaring if you have any kind of economic interest. For example, like say if you're going to own a building where there might be some Ryan White care funded housing in, something like that. Anything that might actually be considered putting you in a kind of a tricky spot economically. Also, no council members, and actually, this makes sense now that Bill is ex officio. No council members can be involved in the administering of the Part A grant. which means they cannot be part of the administrative mechanism or the grantee, which is DPH. That includes me, which is interesting because that's part of the legislation. But, you know, there are other jurisdictions that actually hold planning council support, but I guess they're choosing to ignore that. Anyway, it's neither here nor there. So we can't be a part of that. We can't pick people to receive service agencies to receive funding. That's why we talk about service categories, right? Yeah, that's basically it. Any questions on that? This is all about, like, you know, why we cannot benefit or our agency cannot
seems
benefit.
Accurate.
All right. Okay, now this is a long one. Oh, but you know, these are all things that we basically just got from HRSA, so it's not actually that long. Membership should reflect in its composition the demographics of the population of individuals with or at risk for HIV disease in the eligible area involved, with particular consideration given to disproportionately affected and historically underserved groups and subpopulations. Excuse me for burping. Rude. The membership committee shall monitor the composition of the council. Membership shall include representatives of affected communities. And so that's positive or at risk of becoming positive. Healthcare providers, including FQHCs. CBOs, serving populations. Social service providers, which, you know, can be considered a CBO. This includes providers of housing and homeless services, mental health and substance use providers, local public health agencies, hospital planning agencies, non-elected community leaders, state government, grantees of CO of Centers of Excellence and Early Intervention Programs, grantees of other HIV programs, including Part C, Part D, POPWA, HIV Prevention. Grantees under Section 2671, or if done or operating in the area, REPs with a history of serving children, youth, and families. Reps of representatives of individuals who formerly were federal, state, or local prisoners. Representatives from federally recognized American Indian tribes, folks who are co-infected with the MC, a member of the mayor's long-term care coordinating council. We have to remove this one. I'm so sorry.
I don't think that council exists anymore, does it?
I don't know. Okay, well, because
I used to be a part of it.
They're no longer sending us anyone. In fact,
I know
when I queried them, this was clearly many years ago, if they no longer exist, I was told, oh, we're just no longer doing that. So that's gone. Representatives from the, and plus we put that in there. Most of this is from HRSA, but we put this one in there, right? That, like, the mayor's long-term care coordinating council, that's not a federal body. So I'm going to just do this right now. Goodbye. We have to remove it because they're no longer sending anyone. Unless, and we have no power to force them to, right? They're just another, if they even exist, and maybe as per manual, maybe they're gone, but, you know, we don't have any authority over them. Representatives from the faith community. That's from HRSA, in case you're wondering if we can remove that. Sorry. Nope. Representatives from business and labor, and representatives from local education agencies and academic institutions. All right. So that's who can be on the council, and that's a lot of people. You know, what's not in there, which is actually a part of the HRSA mandate, are non-elected community leaders. I put that in there.
Also too, Mark, just with regards to the...
Oh. It's in there, actually.
Yeah. Oh, there it is, number eight. Thank you, Zachary. Yes, please go on, Thomas.
No, just with regards to the representative of the communities, both care and at risk kind of thing, that language of the verbiage at the front, how is that number determined?
It's not.
Not
in this particular thing. It is determined as far as folks who are positive. You know, we're supposed to have a minimum of 33% unaligned HIV positive consumers. We have no threshold for HIV prevention consumers, or consumers who are HIV negative but consume HIV prevention. However, we do want that And that's why that counts as a consumer, and it certainly is like right there within number one as well, right at risk for.
That's well, I just get the, I think it's the African American number and the youth number that I feel like we're always struggling with in membership, right?
Yeah.
And where does that percentage that we're trying to hit come from?
The percentage comes from how many of those people in that particular community show up in our ARIES or our EPI report. So if the percentage is, let's say there's 12% HIV positive this community, ideally 12% of our council comes from that community.
We so that's just a care perspective and not an at-risk perspective. It's just, I'm just getting clarity. I'm not challenging it.
I think so because this is based on HIV care.
Exactly.
Yes. Thank you, Manuel. Yes, right.
Because I'm like, oh, because I thought initially when you read it, you said that this was care and prevention, right?
I mean, the bylaws are for the council, which is care and prevention.
It might be the membership reflects the demographics and populations of individuals who are at risk for HIV disease. That's where I was. But it doesn't say who are living with HIV disease.
With or at, yeah.
So if we include the at risk, then it's like a different number. It's okay. I got it now. I just want to kind of acknowledge that. It's like,
yeah, it's good to acknowledge. Mm-hmm. We want to add things in that we can, but we also have to recognize that we don't have a mandate from the CDC around these minimums. The only, my understanding is the only mandate we have is that we have to have your position as a co-chair. I don't think we actually have, I don't think I've seen mandates from the CDC around like you need to have these certain number of HIV negative prevention consumers. I could be wrong. I have seen appointed seats from CDC equivalents of that, but please correct me if I'm wrong. For sure.
Just a time check. We're at 4:30.
Okay, time for us to finish this up.
I just like recommendation about the word prisoners. Like, I'm wondering if we could change that because it feels a little, especially where we're at. You know, people are put into prison for multiple reasons, including you know.
Zachary,
yeah,
I understand where you're coming from, and I agree with you to a degree. But we actually have to use the language that is that HRSA is using. I can double check. Maybe they have
other that.
But that's also why you'll occasionally see things like I mentioned, like substance abuse, like in San Francisco, centering city. Like we don't really even use that.
Right, right, right. No, yeah.
But we have to.
Mark, you could use justice involved, and then in parentheses, incarcerated. And also, is it prisons or jails that we need to put?
I will double check, but we should be using the HRSA language. I mean, that's
okay.
Right. I'm just saying you could combine both, or you could use, but the new term that folks use is justice involved. But I think the other issue that I'm raising here is. Usually people, we don't have any prisons in San Francisco. We have people that parole out, but we have a very large jail population. So maybe that's also worth doing a little more thinking on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Keeping in mind though, we do have to just basically use what, anyway. But while also respecting where you're coming from, Zachary, you know, language.
Yeah, growth. Just a question, yeah.
Language changes, but sometimes the government does not.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, and so this kind of speaks to what we'll end here going. We're going over just a little bit, but we'll end right after this paragraph because it's connected to the top. The Planning Council will meet the minimum unaffiliated consumer representation as called for in federal legislation, which is 33%, and will hold this only as a minimum and will make efforts to exceed it. Unaffiliated consumers shall be consumers of Part A and or Part B funded services at the time of their appointment who are free of conflict of interest defined as not being officers, employees, or consultants to any entity that receives Part A. They shall reflect the demographics of the population of individual HIV disease. An individual shall be considered receiving services if the individual is a parent or caregiver for a minor child. So keep that in mind. That's affected. All right. This speaks to what I was saying about how we need to try to get that 33%. All right. So next time we come back, You will not be looking at Article 4. I want to be here for the bylaws. I'm sorry. But I'll talk with Kira and we'll pick up because there should be someone who has like that. I mean, not to toot my own horn, someone who has like the historical knowledge of what we've done in the past. So I'll hopefully pick like some that don't require that much of that so that you can do it at the next steering committee meeting, which I will not be at. All right. Thanks, everyone. Sorry that we went over. My bad.
No problem.
Thanks. Have a good week.
Everyone.
It was helpful. So,
Kira,
see everyone.
You want to stay on and just make this meeting even longer? Yeah.
Okay. Bye, guys.